Hello to everyone who's going to Taree Library later today. A very special guest from the Blue Mountains who's released a brand new book called Across Great Divides. It's true stories of life at Sydney Cove from a lady who came to Australia herself by boat, Susan Boyer. Susan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Anthony.
Thanks very much for sharing this story with us. But first of all, tell us about your own experience coming to Australia. What we're looking at with the book is different perspectives from different people on how it must have been so strange for everyone.
Yeah. Well, the people, the stories in my book are the people that came were convicts. I didn't come as a convict. I came as the daughter of a 10-pound Poms. I was about, I think, I always forget whether I was six or seven, but I was quite young. Mm. I do remember sailing into Sydney Harbour. The Opera House wasn't there then.
But what were you expecting?
Okay, as a young girl, I was expecting to see lots of koalas and kangaroos jumping around and a little bit like an American Wild West show. That's what I expected, and I was actually quite disappointed to see...
A city.
Yeah, I was disappointed.
So then when you went through Sydney itself, it started to become more and more sparse.
Well, then we got off the boat and we got onto a bus and went out to East Hills, which was the Styx then. So that was, it was very isolated, and I was thinking, when are we going to get there and what's it going to be like? But there were still no kangaroos. So it was a bit disappointing.
Well, what it must have been like for the first fleet coming over, because we've all heard the official accounts from the people who write history, but you're actually putting yourself in the minds of everyone else on the boat as well.
Yeah.
And people who are already in Australia.
Yeah, I started, as I was doing research, I started off doing research for an earlier book called People in Australia's Past, and I included some convicts because there's some convicts on the Australian currency. Mary Raby's on the $20 note. So I started to imagine what it would have been like for them to... Most of the convicts, for a start, had never even seen ocean before. Then they were... had to travel on the ocean for 8 months.
It took you, what, 6 weeks to come across?
Yes, 6 weeks.
How long would it have, been? Several months?
It was just over 8 months, in very different conditions to the way I came. But when they arrived in Sydney Cove, of course, there was nothing but bush. You can imagine there was kookaburras and screeching cocatoos.
Which they had never seen before.
No, and, the sounds of cicadas, and just looking at the bush... the London newspapers reported that this great Southland was the habitation of cannibals. So when they were looking towards the coast, they would have been wondering what's out there, you know. And so I started to think, wow, what would it be like? And that's how I've written the book, so that the reader could actually, and people have said that to me, they actually felt like they were there.
Yeah.
They were there, you know, arriving in this new and scary land. The other thing I then tried to do was imagine what it would be like looking out from the shore. What it would have been like to be an Aboriginal person watching these ships arrive one day, obviously unexpectedly.
You use a comparison to be like us seeing aliens come from space now.
Mm. Yeah.
It would be.
And they, you know, later accounts, and I've, just incidentally, the reason that I can write the way I have is because I've gone back to the original journals and... later on, interviews with Aboriginal people who were there at the time said that we thought they were, or my parents thought they were floating islands.
Mm.
And that
the
boats were floating islands coming in because they could see things on these floating things coming towards them.
Yeah. And what was interesting also is that it's the clash of cultures and it's the unknown. When you first meet new people, there's always tentative steps normally to try to establish what cultural norms are.
Mm.
And the biggest problem, of course, would have been the language barrier.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm going to say white people and black people.
Yes.
The white people coming in, they obviously needed to know where they could find water. So they were gesturing, you know, and the Aboriginal people on the shore were quite happy to show them where the water was. So it started like that, but of course they were very, they were both wary.
And the different, I suppose what I'm looking at is for a lot of Aboriginal cultures, it's all about sharing within the group.
Mm.